All right, Ted. Anyone doing that one?
Which one?
30.
I'm doing it.
30 days in the hole.
Yeah. That's nice.
30 days in the hole. 30 days in the hole.
Lord, I'm
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm your host, Paul Schultz. Nothing you're about to hear is true. My usual co-host is still Steve is still suffering from a injury he received from a fidget spinner. So to fill in for him today, I have none other than Superfan James. Say hey, Superfan James.
Hey, Superfan James.
All right, then. It's going to be one of those shows.
If I knew it was going to be that kind of party.
Right? That having been said, Steve's actually on vacation, and he's not really able to record tonight, so we're doing this without him. So this will be what he gets to stop. What he gets to experience, what our fans get to experience when they listen to the show, because he has no idea what's going on.
I don't think he knows what's going on when he's listening to the show afterwards. I've said stuff about the show that we just recorded, and he goes, I don't remember that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the episode.
That is because he is always on. He's like, there was a movie, I think it was Sneakers or something like that from the 90s, where there was this like crazy conspiracy theorist in the story, and one character asks him, he's like, do you honestly believe everything that's coming out of your mouth? And he's like, I never really know till I'm done talking. I think that's pretty close to Steve.
Yeah,
because he will. I'll send him, like, I usually edit the show the day after we recorded. I put it together, and I'll message him like if he said something funny or we came up with a quip, I'll just message just a quip to him, and I'll get back a question mark, and I'm like, it was, you know, 10 minutes in. I can't wait to hear it again. So, he's just always on. But since he's off and we're on, it'll be a little bit different show, because usually we have three or four segments that we do on a routine basis that pretty much make up the show. But this week, we're not going to do that. We're just going to kind of wing it. So when was the last time you were on the show? Do you remember?
We did the follow-up of Autcraft, which was about 2 weeks ago.
Right. Okay. So what have you been up to since then?
I've been playing on that server. I've just been doing dad stuff, getting ready for my vacation in July.
Dad stuff.
And now 5 minutes of dad noises.
Don't forget the when you stand up and when you sit down. Those are big ones.
I haven't done that one yet. I haven't fallen asleep in my easy chair, mainly because I don't have one.
You're not quite old enough yet for that.
Yeah,
that's a luxury that gets passed on to you when you get a little bit older.
Yeah, especially because I have a 3-year-old. So I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were planning on doing something that night. Like, we were gonna get on the computer and play some games, and I said that I like never get on the computer before my son goes to bed, because I just don't. Like, I try to be responsible. I try to be like there for him. And she says, good. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Gavin doesn't let me be anything but responsible.
Damn kids, they're the worst. When Atticus was about his age, he would not let me sleep. Yeah. And if I nodded off in the chair, in fact, I was laying on the couch watching TV, and he's kind of bopping around the house, you know. At his age, with him being young and with the problems he had, he was still kind of in a walker.
Yeah.
And, like, I was laying on the couch watching TV, and I fell asleep, and the next thing I know, I just feel whacked. And he'd gotten a hold of his mom. His mom had a funny-looking, fancy dragon walking cane.
Oh, yeah.
And he just whopped me right across the face with it to wake me up. And I ended up with a black eye over the whole incident.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
I bet that was fun to explain at work the next day.
Yes, I got beat up by a three-year-old. Arlo, my oldest, she used to... she was the opposite, because she was an early riser when she was little. So I used to get up in the morning, have to get up in the morning to make sure she wouldn't get in anything.
Yeah.
So I'd be sitting there on the couch exhausted trying to stay awake. Well, she got the bright idea and figured out she'd go upstairs, get a blanket and bring it down and cover me up, and I'd fall asleep like that.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up with the smell of burning pizza in the microwave and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, God.
So she knew if she put Dad to sleep, she could...
do whatever she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when those kids were that young. I remember putting Atticus to bed, mixing just a little bit of water with his juice, like mainly water to juice. You had to set the fan up so he didn't hear you.
Yep. Now he falls asleep at like 7:30 at night.
Really? God. It's funny how that happens. I was just thinking, because you said Arlo's an early riser now, and now she's like, you have to go in her room now and be like, hey, 20 minutes until you have to get up.
Yeah. Down to the last few minutes. Well, apparently this is turning into the dad show.
That's all right. We're dads. We need a dad show every once in a while.
Yeah.
I had a buddy come over today, and he was supposed to help me clean. He helped me by keeping my son distracted so that I could clean. Because like I said, Gavin, he's decent at keeping himself busy sometimes. Like, he'll be able to play by himself, but he is an only child. Mm-hmm. And so he just craves, like, a playmate sometimes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's great, and I love playing with him, but sometimes, like, daddy wants some time to himself. Daddy needs to do dishes, needs to clean. Stuff like that, and he's like, come play with me. So my buddy came over and played with him all day, and I got like 3 of the 4 rooms done today. I was like, I'm not even touching my room, like, ugh, like, I'm not even.
Yeah, well, as a single dad, my room basically is, it's a storage room with a bed. So I empathize on not even touching your room. It's like, yeah. Nah. Why? Nobody ever sees it.
That's right, ladies. He's single.
Yeah, that's funny too, because if I have like a lady friend come over, we'll be like, just the other day a friend of mine come over and we were sitting on the couch just kind of, you know, talking and whatnot, and the next thing I know, Arlo's sitting in the room. And the next thing I know, Aramis, who's never subtle, has wormed her way onto the couch between the two of us and is sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about nothing, you know, FNAF stuff and all that. And I got up to take care of some stuff in the kitchen, and my friend followed me in the kitchen. And I'm like, now you watch. 5 minutes after you're gone, they're going to go back to their room. And she's like, don't worry, my daughter does it too. And sure enough, 5 minutes after they left, the girls went back to their room. It's like, dad's never going to get laid.
That's why you need to go to their house. Arlo can watch the kids.
Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I'll just leave it at that.
Change the channel, Marge!
I suppose we should talk about the show a little bit, or get some kind of format going here.
Yeah.
I think. Well, recently I've been doing a lot of reevaluating how I promote the show. You know, on Facebook.
Absolutely.
You know about.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And what I've noticed is, since I have started doing it the way I'm doing it now, it seems like we're picking up more listeners. Because up until this point, when about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I started doing this, people I've known for years have had no idea that I've been doing this because of the way Facebook's ads go and the way their promotions go. So I reevaluated it a little bit, and I saw some people doing where they would post, they'd make a post, and then they'd say, you know, links in the comments.
Yeah.
And that seems to be working. Also, I'm putting the show back on YouTube again whenever it lets me, and whenever YouTube censors decide that they don't care that I don't own that song. But since then, we've been picking up some new listeners, and so maybe it might be a good idea to talk about exactly what the show is about.
Yeah.
And how it came about, and we'll see if, since Steve's not on the show, we'll see if, like, my idea is the same as his. As he's listening to it, he'd be like, what the heck's he talking about? But, you know, the title of the podcast is Don't Panic. You know, we took the name from The Hitchhiker's Guide. And to sum up in short, the podcast, basically, we try to, in a humorous way, show or demonstrate to people that the world is not coming to an end. That nothing is as bad as everybody thinks it is. And we try to do it in a humorous way, and we try to distract people enough, hopefully, that they get a little bit of, you know, alleviation from everything that goes on social media-wise and media-wise in general. That's kind of what this whole show is about. And that's where segments that we have on the show, like irresponsible headline interpretations, come from. Because we think that the media, and by media I mean anybody with a friggin' phone that can create a web page, tries to basically just convince you that that everything is terrible. And that they'll put, like, one of my favorite examples is, and I read this on an article somewhere a while back, where they're talking about, like, clickbait, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy who does this website, he's making a bank now, because he used to just go on there and be like, you know, the president signs a bill that does this, and nobody reads it. So he realized this was a while ago, because, you know, we didn't have the current, you know, clown in chief that we have now.
Yeah.
He would go, Obama hates America. Here's why. And then you'd click and you'd read this thing, and it would be, like, so mundane and just so not what the headline said. So we're like, well, these people have irresponsible headlines.
Pretty much.
So we're going to do irresponsible headline interpretations, basically to mock the people who are mocking us with these headlines. So that's kind of where that came from. And of course, we do the question of the week to kind of, you know, break the fourth wall with the people who listen to the show. You know, they get a chance to, like, comment, and then we'll read their comments and stuff. And it, you know, usually it ends in hilarity. So that's kind of a fun thing we do. And then we talk a little bit about what we've been doing with our lives and movies we've seen and stuff like that. So that's kind of the show in a nutshell. And hopefully it's a funny nutshell.
And occasionally the super fan of the show comes on, like now.
Yes.
When he's needed to bring in the the young masses to the show.
That's right. Bring in, put young asses in the seat. That's we call you Superfan James. For anybody who wonders, we call James Superfan James because he's the only other person that besides Steve and I who have listened to every single episode. So anybody that can endure that much punishment is a super fan. So he's also our historian, because if we can't remember if we talked about something, we can always message him and he'd be like, yeah, you talked about that 2 years ago.
Episode 17, 14 minutes in.
What a top.
I think I did come up with a Facebook question of the week. Just popped in my head. Maybe we can run with it if you like.
Okay.
But favorite bad movie, go.
With like bad in quotations, is that what your air quotes are for?
Yeah. Like Pootie Tang. Like, that was a bad movie, but like, it's a fucking amazing movie. Like,
Pootie. Well, anyone who listens to the show knows how much we like Pootie Tang. Yeah, we're there. Pootie Tang don't need to be defended. Pootie Tang can defend himself.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and pose that. Hang on a second here. Favorite bad movie, go. And post. I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Speaking of movies, I believe there's a wedge that has been driven between the two of us.
Yeah.
That shakes the very foundation of our friendship. We can both agree that Pootie Tang is probably the best movie ever. But we've had a disagreement on a particularly new movie. So you want to go into that for us?
Yeah, the movie in question is the 2017 movie Arrival. I enjoyed it, and I think the reason why I enjoyed it so much was on how the perspective I went into the movie when I was watching it. And I went into it thinking that it's like it's a prequel, or like it's building towards something. So every little minute stupid little thing that was in the movie, I felt like it was ultimately building towards the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I enjoyed it, because I just like looked at it as like they're building towards this next, like, you know, like this blockbuster movie, Arrival 2, or or something, you know, different. And I think that's why like the ending wasn't so bad, because like they kind of, like I said, they were all doing all this little bitty shit to build to that climactic strange ending.
And what exactly would you, how exactly would you interpret that ending?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't really open, I mean, it kind of does open up to like a sequel, but yeah. I think that's why I easily like I said, through the whole movie, I'm like, okay, like, it's really strange, but they're building towards something. Like, they're obviously built, like, I was trying to think. When I watch a movie, I don't think. Like, I'm really terrible at that. When I watch TV shows, I really don't think. That's why such obvious things, like, my wife and I will be watching something, and something will happen, and it's like, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, that's really fucking obvious. And she'd be like, I saw that coming. Totally saw that coming. I'm like, really? I got hit in the head with a baseball bat. I was not expecting that at all. And I think that's
why that's great, though. That's what you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like,
nobody wants to watch a movie knowing what's going to happen, you know. It's kind of nice to have it take you by surprise.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's why I enjoy so many movies that some people don't enjoy, because I don't, I try not to think about it. I know in one of the earlier episodes when you were discussing Home, that it was 3D, or it was like originally 3D in the theaters, and they were doing those three weird effects because it was in 3D.
So many bubbles.
Yeah. And you were watching it, and they were doing these weird angles, and you said, like, what is the director trying to tell me?
Yes, exactly. He's trying to tell me it's in 3D, dumbass.
And so, like, that, like, those thoughts really didn't connect with me, and I think you had seen Arrival already, and you were like, it was dull as dishwater. And yeah. So I think that made me hypercritical of the movie. Thank you. My wife just brought me another drink. That's not why I was staring at you.
I know you were staring at me because my tits were hanging out.
That shirt's incredible, babe. Like, I'm glad you bought it. And so, yeah, like the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this is building towards something. Something like I went into it, like I said, expecting a sequel. They were doing all this stuff. Building towards something better, towards like a sequel of something. And that thought easily translated to how the movie ended. Like they were doing all these weird things and they were building towards that ending.
Hey, you know your wife could come a little closer to the camera if she
I don't expect you to go back and try watching it from my perspective. Like, I understand, like, but I mean, when we were thinking about watching it, because we were thinking about going and seeing it in theaters, mm-hmm. It had like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was a critically acclaimed movie.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, right now it's still 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah. I mean, it was definitely a strange movie. And it's a movie that if you went in it with the wrong perspective, it was definitely not a movie you'd enjoy.
Well, now see, I not only did I survive Donnie Darko, but I friggin' love Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
So strange is not it. I'm no stranger to the strange. But it was just one of those movies that, you know, it was hyped up. It was Oscar nominated. I think it might even have won something. So I thought, all right, and a lot of my friends, this is sometimes how I feel dumb. A lot of my friends who are like people that I look up to, people whose opinions matter to me, ate this movie up. So I thought, all right, well, I'll watch it. So I watched it, and I'm just like, did I watch the right movie? What did I miss? I mean, I couldn't. I mean, my friend Jay refers to the Watchmen movie as a celluloid quaalude. This movie to me was a celluloid quaalude. It was like it had some good ideas, but overall, it just kept putting me to sleep. And it's nothing. I thought the ending was cool, but I was immediately put on the defensive because it had a lot of. What's the word we use? Tropes from a lot of other science fiction movies and stuff like that, right down to using the what do they call that? What is the term for it? Where they use color? It's like
racism.
No, that's this show. No, it has a name, Helen. It's
when they use color. What do you mean? Give me an example.
Well, they use they use colors that are opposites on the color wheel, and they're designed to elicit certain responses.
Oh yeah, all colors elicit certain responses.
Yes. Well, that's why you get so many movies where everything is either blue and orange. Like that whole movie is almost blue and orange, and for some reason, or whatever color you want to call it, they're variations of blue and orange, and that's designed to give you that like you're being wrapped around the movie and stuff. Like, to me, it tried so hard to do all that stuff that I just couldn't buy into it. I even looked up what the hell the name of that was, but I can't for the life of me think of what.
Yeah, I'm looking what it they up, call it. I don't know. One thing I came up, it was accented analogous.
That sounds like a Beck album. color theory is. I think the word I'm looking for.
Really?
Yeah, it's that basic. Yeah, color theory is what it is. Color theory is designed to make you... It's designed to elicit the response out of you that they want. And for me, movies that do that are so desperate to make sure that you're paying attention because they're not 100% sold on their plot. At least that's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, you know, I've got some pretty crummy movies in my favorite selection. So I'm not dissing your taste in movies because we have, you know, a lot of similar tastes. But I just don't understand why that movie was so popular. I just didn't get it, I guess. I guess I was, you know, but then I'm a movie snob, but I also like just pure garbage too. So it's like the minute a movie starts taking itself way too seriously, I'm hypercritical about it.
Yeah.
That's why, with the exception of Wonder Woman, I prefer the Marvel movies over the DC movies, because the DC movies take themselves way too seriously. And guess what they do? They use color theory. The Marvel movies, not so much. They're like, yep, there's a big alien flying around New York City, and we gotta stop it. And you just have fun with it. But as soon as it starts getting all, like, super serious and taking itself way too seriously, I instantly go on the critical defensive.
I get it.
As Steve once said, he goes, when we were doing a movie review like a year and a half ago, and he goes like, well, if this episode's taught me one thing, it's you've seen a fuck of a lot of movies. I'm like, yeah, I've wasted my life. But hey, well, we're coming up on half past, so let's or halfway through, so let's take a little short break, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more and then hopefully get to the Facebook question of the week.
All right.
In modern day America, the corporations run our lives. But one man is prepared to take our country back.
Booty-tang!
This summer, meet a superhero like no other.
Pootie-Tang's one bad brother, man. Pootie-Tang whipped your butt so bad that you can write it off on your taxes.
Da-da-da.
Since the inception of Pootie-Tang's ad campaign, sales are down 30%.
He steals from me.
I want him dead.
Get that Pootie!
Did it again!
Paramount Pictures presents, in association with MTV Films and Chris Rock Productions.
We got Pootie-Tang in the house tonight.
A man too cool for words.
So let's listen up to the new record by Pootie-Tang.
Turn that noise down!
Pootie don't need no words, don't even need no music!
You could set my body ablaze, you skinny, wonderful man.
Lance Crowther. Wanda Sykes.
Give me some more of your juicy neck bone one more time.
And Chris Rock.
Daddy?
You damn right I'm your daddy.
Pootie Tang.
You are funny, man!
Shot out tape!
Let me put up.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Just me, Paul, sitting here with Superfan James. It's not like I have never, like, appreciated what Steve does with the show, but he does this every week.
Yeah.
And he never seems to look like he's, like we said earlier, he's winging it. I mean, he's winging that ish. And somehow manages to make a show out of it. So this is my you complete me meme about working with that man, because damn, he does it, and he does it well. But then again, he has confessed that he likes to hear himself talk. So
yeah, I mean, there was the episode that he did with the improv guys, and they blew him out of the water. He has a lot to learn, but yeah, he definitely really holds, I shouldn't say holds the show together, because he definitely is like the casing that moves the show along. I always feel like, though, that you should have more going on with the show, but I know he tries. Being, you know, listening to the recording, like, it's Steve, Paul. But, like, he does give you an opportunity to really try to take the show from him. Like,
yeah.
He's like, Paul, take it, please. And, yeah.
I'm drowning here, help me. But as I've told him off, you know, off mic, I'm like, dude, I just get caught up listening to you talk, and I forget, oh, yeah, wait, we're doing a show.
Yeah.
So yeah.
he you don't hear it on the show, listeners, but he absolutely does try to share the limelight with Paul and me. We just don't have the talent that Steve does.
Well, let's not start sucking each other's quite yet.
All right, so that having been said, or as he would say, all seriousness aside, before we get to the audience or the question of the week, do you have a favorite bad movie? Well, hold on. Do you have a favorite bad movie? If so, go.
Like, I was telling you at the break that, like, one of my favorite bad horror movies was How to Create a Monster.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that you have a criteria for bad movies.
Yeah, my criteria for bad movies was, on Rotten Tomatoes, it had to have a very low score, but it also had to have a very low audience score.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, How to Make a Monster was a movie that does not have a tomato score, but it had an audience score. But it was a very good horror movie that I really liked, and I think it kind of possibly shaped my interest. Or it definitely didn't deter my interest to be a video game creator, because it was a movie about some video game creators trying to make a very powerful AI, monstrous AI, that eventually took over a robotic suit and goes and plays the game that they were creating and kills a bunch of them.
I remember that movie now. Okay, because I was trying to remember which the heck it was. Yeah, because you would have been, what, like a small fry when that thing came out.
Yeah, I think it came out in 2001, so I was like 10 years old when it first came out.
Yeah.
But I very much enjoyed it. As a preteen, I was very scared by it, but I always just really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I did more research and like tried to fit the criteria better, I'm sitting here, I was thinking back to like my video game collection. I was thinking back.
Your porn collection.
I was thinking to my DVD collection and going mm-hmm. through the list of like all the movies that are in my DVD collection. And the only one that mm-hmm. in the short break that I saw that I was, you know, did this research that I could think of that I was able to find that had a very low tomatoes score, but also had a very low audience score, was the movie with Danny DeVito and Martin Lawrence, and I think that was it, for major actors, was What's the Worst That Could Happen?
I don't think I saw that one.
It's a comedy. I really liked it. I think it's one of those movies that I really like because I saw it as a formidable age. It's a comedy mm-hmm. about Martin Lawrence is a professional thief who tries to rip off Danny DeVito, and Danny DeVito catches him, steals his girlfriend's ring, and so it creates a pissing contest between the two. And I like Martin Lawrence as an actor, and I really like Danny DeVito as an actor.
Is Tim Robbins in that one, or am I thinking of a different movie? Seems to me he'd be a headliner.
Tim Robbins? I think so. Doesn't look like
it. Okay, because that sounds an awful lot like a movie Martin Lawrence made with Tim Robbins. So I don't know if they just recreated the wheel for one movie or the other, but I think I've seen the one you're talking about as well. Now that I'm just terrible with movie names anymore. I've seen so many of them.
Is Tim Robbins? Okay, that's why. He played in,
Dufresne in Shawshank.
Yeah, Dufresne.
Yeah.
Which is probably my favorite movie. As that was another movie that I looked up, in this movie was, this whole thing was, Puff Puff Pass. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Hyde from...
I'm going to say I did. No, I know what you're talking about. No, I did not see that one.
Oh, yeah. The main character's favorite movie was The Shawshank Redemption. And in it, one of the main characters has only seen it on TV. So he had no idea that Tim Robbins was raped in that movie.
That's what happened to me when I was a kid when I saw Deliverance, because I saw it on television and couldn't figure out why John Voight was like going through this weird mental like wandering through the woods drama thing, and then I eventually saw it on cable, I think, or I rented it, and I'm just like, okay.
I have not seen that movie yet.
I probably would too. Well, the same. Basically, the guy, yeah, the group goes on a fish on a kayaking fishing trip, and they run into some hillbillies, and wackiness ensues.
Yeah,
and it's for its time when that movie came out, man. That was like early mid 70s,
1972.
It just shook everything up from that, you know, as far as movies go. I was in. But I used to work at this restaurant, and one of the guys I worked with, he's this big, big dude. We called him Kill Bill.
Western Inn?
Yeah. And one day I was walking into the back where we kept all the chemicals and the towels and all this stuff, and there was a big cooler back in there, and Kill Bill comes following up behind me, and I just went, I'd like to tell you that Andy Dufresne fought the good fight, but he about died. I'm just like,
oh God,
I could write a book. I could write a book about what happened there.
Oh God, that's funny.
So getting back to your favorite bad movie. You would recommend this movie to be watched? You would not be ashamed to, or you wouldn't be embarrassed to tell your friends or whatever to watch this movie?
Yeah, it definitely had its funny parts. There's a busty woman in it at one point. I don't think you see any nudity, but there's always, it was that. Hmm. It had its moments. It was very funny. I liked it. Like I said, I saw it at a formidable age. I think once you see a movie that you liked as a kid, you're always going to like that movie, no matter how freaking terrible it is.
Well, that's why the Superman the Motion Picture is my favorite superhero movie of all time. Because by today's standards, it's subpar on like special effects and stuff, but I saw that movie when I was 10 years old in the theater, and I was hooked right then and there. So I understand that, I understand how that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's the worst that could happen
with Danny DeVito and Martin Lawrence?
All right.
This is the part where you ask me.
So Paul, So, Paul, what is your favorite bad movie?
Funny you should ask. No, I have to think for a minute. Hang on.
Even Convoy received pretty good audience reviews. And,
dude. Oh, okay. All right. But I already talked about Convoy too much.
I know. Yeah, it received way higher than Nick Off. What's the worst that could happen? 42 Tomato and 73 audience, so it was not nearly as bad as people made it seem.
It's like I said on the show, it's the greatest movie in American cinema. I keep coming back to Buckaroo Banzai as my favorite bad movie, because Buckaroo Banzai was one of these sci-fi movies that was made, I think, when I was still in high school.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension?
Yep. It flopped at the box office, and it promised a sequel that never got made.
Yeah.
And it, as far as that movie's like, it's like a, like Blade Runner's like little brother.
Yeah.
Because Blade Runner flopped, but it has this huge cult following. And then every sci-fi guy I know, every comic book guy I know, it has this huge cult following. We love it. It's so bad it's good, is the term that gets bandied around a lot. Kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Commando, which to me would be on a parallel with Buckaroo Banzai. It's just so bad. It's just so bad it's good. The cast of Buckaroo Banzai is insane, because all these guys went on to be these big box office draws for a while, making this little rinky-dink silly alien invasion movie.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Buckaroo Banzai as my favorite bad movie.
All right.
Change the channel, Marge.
All right, so having said all that, should we check the Facebook question of the week? Okay, so favorite bad movie, go. Shannon Williams says Lost Boys.
Like I said, that was a critically acclaimed movie. I don't know what she's talking about.
I hated that movie.
Really?
Yes. For me, Lost Boys is like The Breakfast Club. Everybody I know loves those two movies. I can't stand either one of them. I kind of sort of knew that about her. Carl Schilling, Uncle Carl, comes in with Forbidden Planet.
Another critically acclaimed movie.
Patrick Thomas says Hudson Hawk. Have you seen Hudson Hawk?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Dude, you have to see Hudson Hawk. It was a Bruce Willis movie from, I think, the late 80s or very early 90s. It was supposed to be a straight action movie. But the more they worked on it, the sillier it got. And it's very funny. You should check it out. Jay Fife says, Xanadu. to which Susan Mitchell replies, Yes! Craig Bogart, artist and all-around awesome guy, says The Black Six. I don't think I've seen that one.
1974. Six times tougher than Shaft, six times rougher than Superfly. See the six biggest, baddest, and best weight waste 150 motorcycle dudes.
That is a very bold claim. I guess I know what I'm watching tonight. And Jim McLean, my partner in crime on Poe and the Mysteriads, poeandthemysteriads.com, says Tommy Boy. Have you seen Tommy Boy?
Yes, I have. I've seen Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, which are like two of the same movies. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I enjoy them, but like, they're almost interchangeable.
That's like every single Adam Sandler movie ever made.
That is true. I will give you that.
He could go on Jimmy Fallon tonight and talk about his new movie, but bring a clip from Little Nicky, and nobody would even know, because the exact same movies. And not coincidentally, I'm pretty sure Tommy Boy was Happy Gilmore or Happy McGuire or whatever.
Happy Madison.
All right. Well, I think that's enough bad movies for one episode. Good bad movies for one episode. Have any parting thoughts? Anything you want to talk about real quick?
Nothing on the show, really, I can think of. We could make another a whole episode if we really wanted to. All the stuff I want to talk about, but just ain't got the time. I don't want to take over Steve's position.
Oh, never mind. Well, all right then. Well, hopefully Steve's fidget spinner injury is recovering nicely, and he'll be back next week. But in the meantime, for Steve Vinson and Superfan James, I'm Paul Schultz, and oh yeah, don't forget, don'tpanicradioshow.com. Catch all the groovy episodes. And don't forget, nothing.
You just heard was
true.
God
of hell, I said, I love the suit that the devil gave me to wear to Beirut, where the whores are dancing on the tabletops and the jukebox plays Apocalyptic Bebop. Streets where the flowers of sin bloom in the heat, and if I were a ghost, I'd be pleased living among these French mysteries. I put the place to go another latitude when Jesus is wearing his blue suede shoes and the pink neon lights up the thoroughfares between what is and what's not there. You know the place is not too far away. Let's take a trip to the home of the brave.
get out of New York, take the train to the plane. Well, Hong Kong smells like dying fish. In Berlin, still stinks of Auschwitz. I wanna go where the wild things play. I wanna go to the home of the brave. Somebody meet me at the airport at about a 10:30. And tell Jose and Nikita and all the boys down in the bunker, Mark Campbell's coming home again. Oh God of hell, I said I love the suit that the devil gave me to wear to Beirut, where the boys are dancing on the tabletops and the jukebox plays. Forget about London, forget about Spain. Get out of New York, take the train to the plane. Oh, Hong Kong smells like dying fish. In Berlin still stinks of Auschwitz, yeah. I wanna go where the wild things play. I wanna go to the home of the brave. Yeah. Oh, take me home, man.
Ah, bullshit.